appreciate the mercy of God this morning in visiting my heart and giving me something to share. I have this morning a very serious subject that the Lord talked to me about. I don't know if I've ever quite shared anything like this, but I feel it's a personal warning to me, and felt like that God wanted me to share it also with the congregation. I'm going to write the title on the board. I'd like to turn to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, and if you would bear with me, I'd like to read just quite a few verses here, maybe about 18 verses. Might skip a few, but I'd like to start with verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou art eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. So he's saying, beware that thou forget, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It's interesting when you read in the Old Testament, and the Lord brought several of these instances to my mind this morning. I'm going to show you some of them. But there were many, many deliverances that God did for the people. And we know that God's heart toward us is always to do us good. And he is a God who delights in loving kindness and tender mercies. And so as much good and victory and blessing, oh, there's so much of that in his heart for us. And he would just shower us with it all the time. But there's a deeper blessing that He wants in our hearts and our lives than just constantly giving us good things temporally. Have you ever seen that about God? That we're not always promised the plenty of this land, of this world. Some people today preach a health and wealth gospel and they say that, oh, God wanted me to have this super plane, this jet. God wanted me to have this mansion. And this is what God wants for you too. If you'll just do this formula, then He'll do this for you. That's not really the blessing that God wants in our lives. He always wants there to be a knowledge in us that we don't live by bread alone, that we live by His Word. He doesn't want us to forget that. And so He said, I humbled you and I suffered you to hunger. I brought you through real trials and tests where you didn't have any water. Now, when a person gets in a condition where there's no water, it doesn't matter how many pieces of gold you have in your pouch. You don't have any water around, you're going to die there in the desert with all that gold in your pouch. And there's been many a pile of bones in America West that prove that point, where people took out and they were after the almighty dollar, the gold rush in 1849 and other places, where people took out mad with hunger to get gain, and they perished in the desert. He's saying here, I led you through a really dangerous time. I worked miracles for you. I put manna out there in the desert for you. You know what a miracle that was? What God did? He gave them this superfood, this multivitamin, this little tablet. You might call it that. I mean, people have tried to make one of those for years and years and years. God sent one every morning to those children of Israel. Every day they went out and gathered some food that was everything they needed. God knows human body. He put everything in that manna. What a miracle. What a miracle. And those people actually despised the miracle and they discounted it. And they got to hating it. And they didn't really know how wonderful it was that what they had. It's amazing how we get as humans when we're given so much. Have you ever thought about that? What happens to us when we enjoy the plenty and we have lots of blessing? So God balanced all that out for us. He did something for us. And I want to show you a verse that Solomon said. So, Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. It's been on my calendar page that someone gave me there in my kitchen. And I have considered this verse the days of this month that I've had that calendar page open. It says here, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. You know what that means? When your things are going good for you, it's good to rejoice and say, ah, this is just what I wanted. And play with that toy. Children, when they get, I love to see children get a gift that they're all excited with. And you know what they do? They just play and play with it for several weeks, right? A lot of times on Christmas Day, you play with it for about 2 hours, and then you're done. And it's old. It's old now. Your heart's already somewhere else thinking about what you want next. Isn't that amazing how we as people do that too? But it says here, go ahead and rejoice in the day of prosperity. Be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. And here's what God has done. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Now, what I feel like this means, and I may be all wrong, but I believe that God wants man to realize that he is all. That nothing, there is nothing that you can find in life that will satisfy you except for God. And so in the days of prosperity where God has given you something and he's blessed you and he's given you a victory, yes, rejoice. But whenever you get to a place where things are not going good and it's pretty hard for you, Consider. Don't get down and think, oh, God doesn't love me. He didn't. He let this crash. He let this happen. Why did God allow this to happen? Why? And how easily you just forgot what all God had done for you. He's saying you consider. In the day of adversity, consider all the things that God has done for you. And then remember this. He set these days up one against another. You just remember that in the time of prosperity and blessing, you're going to also come next into a time of desert again. And you remember in the desert, I've just been through a period of blessing. I'll go through another period of blessing after this. They're one right after the other. God balances life out like this. And I'm not only seeing this in the Word, but I've seen this in real life. That there have been times where it just seemed like God just did one miracle and blessing after another. And then we went through a time where there was like a nothing. A nothing time is very dangerous following a time of blessing. It's a time where it's like a cycle, really. The time of blessing usually followed a time of great need where you called on God and where you needed God so bad. And you were really putting everything. Maybe you were fasting. Maybe you were just so into the search for whatever you were needing from God. And so you gave it everything. And then God just blessed. God began blessing you. And then it's easy then to coast. And you're not just crying after it so much. You're not so desperate for God anymore. But you're rejoicing in the blessings. And that time right there is a time to beware. And I've seen it in my life. I've seen it over and over again. I remember in 93, the Lord saved me from death. Miraculously saved me from death. I was in a condition where I could have easily died within hours. I was hemorrhaging inside. And it should have been a situation where I should have died. But the Lord healed me. And the Lord told me, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. He showed me that he had healed me. And so he gave me my life back. He gave my children their mother and my husband his wife. And he didn't allow me to die and leave my family. That was a wonderful blessing. That was a miracle. And I was very thankful for it. But you know what happened? In the months that followed that, I went through a spiritually very dangerous time. I went through a time where my life was severely tested with dryness and dullness and lifelessness. And I've always thought about that. I thought, what's all that about? Why did I get, I got to where I wasn't as vigilant. I was not as diligent. I kind of eked my way through. I kept my salvation experience, but I knew I was not being as seeking as I had been. And I thought, why am I being this way? I chastised myself, and I would try to pull up and draw in the strings and seek the Lord, and I would for a while, but it just seemed like it was just a time of danger. It was like a certain valley I was going through where I was just in it. After a while, the Lord gave me some times of mercy where I knew he was blessing me and I did not deserve it. I knew he was visiting me and I had not even put forth the effort that I should have put. And those things right there, it really helped me to seek him. It helped me to see he loves me. He's pursuing me. God is courting my affections. And it really he won my heart again. And so it's like the cycle went through another. It turned around again. And there were times after that. And I've seen it happen many, many times in my life. And it just seems like that when I would get to rejoicing, expressing testimony or praise for what God had just done, it was like announcing, okay, time for me to be attacked. It just seemed like that. Have you ever seen that in your life, where when you testified and when you expressed how things were going so good, wham! It just like something just let loose again. Well, this is not. It's not like something's wrong with you. It's not like you're fixing to. God's forsaken you. You're fixing to drop out. You won't ever be able to make it. That's not. What it is God put these things right next to each other. He put these seasons in life. They follow one another over and over and over. You go through a time of beauty and wonder into a time of dormancy. That's just human life. That's the way God has made it. But He made it so that we can't find anything after Him. We can search and search and search. God is what we need. God is what we must have. And so He puts these things into our life to keep us seeking and pressing. Because He knows that He is only the thing that will satisfy you inside. There was a king. Let's read about him. His name was Asa. 2 Chronicles 15. Actually, let's go to 14. This begins the story about Asa. Let me tell you about Asa. Asa, in verse 2 of 14, it said, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He took away the altars of the strange gods. He broke down the images and he cut down the groves where they would establish like these little park-like areas where they put these shrines and idols. He cut down those. He commanded his kingdom, the people in his kingdom, that they must seek the Lord. It became law that people had to seek the Lord and not go to other gods. And it said that the kingdom was quiet, and the Lord gave him rest. He didn't have any war in his country. And that happened so that several years the land was quiet. 10 years, it says. 10 years he had no war. The kingdom, he built things in the kingdom. He built cities. He made cities that had walls and towers. This is a very interesting story. I love the story of Asa, what all he did. It said they built and they prospered. The Lord gave him rest on every side. Why was it? Because he said, we've sought the Lord and he has given us rest. He had an army, it said, of people who had targets and spears. He had an army of 300,000 men from here, and over here 280,000. So he had an army of 580,000 men who were warriors. 580. All of these, it says, were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them. Now after 10 years, here comes this king from Ethiopia. Guess what kind of army he had? Against Asa's 580,000. The king of Ethiopia had 1,000,000. So Asa was almost outnumbered 2 to 1. Almost. 580,000 to 1,000,000. That's what he was up against. Do you think he could win? Let's see what happened. Asa went ahead and went out against him. Isn't that... Why could he do that? How could Asa go against somebody that was double the army, almost double? It says this, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. It doesn't matter, Lord, if I have an army of 1,000,000 or 2,000,000 or 500,000. It doesn't matter. If I have no power at all, no men, it's nothing with you to help me. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So this is the kind of battle that Asa was in. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Just think about this. 580,000 men put 1,000 to flight. 1,000,000. They ran away from them. They had 300 chariots. They and all those chariots they ran. Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were so overthrown they couldn't recover themselves, and they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And Asa and his soldiers carried away all kinds of spoil, which is all the things that the Ethiopians had. They went in and they just got them and they brought them back. The money, the armor, the weapons, any food that they had, their supplies, all of their supplies. They brought them back with them. They smote all the cities around about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities. They smote also the tents of cattle, carried away the sheep and the camels. So they got all of the things from the battle they took home with them. Now, listen to what happened after this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all you of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. Think about this great victory. And then God was so merciful to give Asa a warning. Asa, remember, it was God. The Lord is with you as long as you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And then he went on to explain. And listen to this explanation of how things were without God and how it can be with God. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. Before you, Asa, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, remember, in the times where there was no God or no law, in those times there was no peace to them that went in or to him that came, that went out or to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And so Asa, he took heed to that warning, and it said he heard the words. In the scriptures, when you see the word heard, it doesn't mean to just listen. It means that the words that come enter into your heart. That's the difference. It means to take heed and to look to it and to do it. You know, you can hear something. A child can hear the mom say, stop doing that. But whenever you really hear it is when you do it. When it enters into your heart and you do it. That's what really hearing is. Asa heard the words and the prophecy of Oded, and he took courage. He put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with him out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, or the thing that they had promised to do. For they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Oh, it goes on. It goes on, and it tells all of the things that he did And for 20 years then, there were no more wars. That was the 15th year that they did that, and it said until the 20 years there were no more war. Until the 35th year, there was no war. So that's a little history there that it would do us good to remember that it doesn't stop. Oh, I kind of wish that Asa would have just died right there. And there would have been no smear to his record. But you know what happened? After all of this blessing, Asa went to someone who was not a worshiper of God. And he said, there's a league between me and thee. He took money. He went to the man and he brought money with him, and he made an alliance. And it was not a good alliance. He did something that jeopardized his victory. The victory that he had. Did he need anyone to help him against the Ethiopians? Did he need anyone? He didn't need anyone. But this is what happened to Asa. In his time of rest and blessing, even after the warning, he went and he... In this move right here, it spoke to God that said, I found something else besides you. I'm seeking after, I want an alliance and a league with someone else. So, his motive in this was to go against his own brethren, the Israelites. So they made that alliance, and they went and they had war with their own brethren. Well, God was merciful again, and he came to Asa, and he said, because you have not relied on the Lord, you have relied on the king of Syria, you haven't had a deliverance. God will not deliver you here. Because thou didst rely on the Lord with the Ethiopians, the Lord delivered them into your hand. And he says in verse 9 of chapter 16, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So after 20 years of peace, he did this thing where he quit trusting in the Lord. And so the prophet came and told him, you're going to have wars. And what did he do with the prophet? It said he was so wroth or angry with him that he put him in prison. Why? You see the downward progression here when you quit trusting in the Lord. Then the evil things that God had taken care of in your life, they just begin rising up. Have you not seen this with other people? Many times you see when someone gets into a time of complacency, God has blessed them, God has done things for them, and they kind of coast, and they quit trusting so much in the Lord, and they quit being so desperate for God's help. Things that had been conquered in their lives begin to come back up. And that's what happened here. Asa, I wonder if Asa was an angry man at one time, and then God had blessed him to be a peaceful man, but here this anger against this prophet of the Lord rose up. And it said, and Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. So he got greedy. He got greedy and began to do things toward his own people, oppressing them. And then the last acts of him were written here in the 39th year of his reign. So 4 years after God had blessed him for 20 years, in just 4 years from that time of blessing and peace, he was diseased in his feet until his disease was very great, exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He didn't even pray. He didn't even ask for a prophet. He had this terrible sickness. You know, you wonder what it was. Was it diabetes? Was it gout? arthritis. You never, I don't know what disease a person could get in their feet. But in his disease, his heart was so removed in just 4 years from a time where God was blessing. He didn't seek to the Lord, and that was what he died with. He died in the 140th year of his reign. 2 years later, he died after he got diseased in his feet. This is a great warning to us. There's another, one more king, and I won't just take all the time that I did with Asa. But did you know the same thing just about happened to Hezekiah? Hezekiah was a king who had a great army come against him as well. Remember that? The king came against him. He had, how many thousand did he have with him? And I didn't even mention Jehoshaphat, which was, I believe that was Asa's. Asa's son, he loved the Lord, he sought the Lord, but he did the same thing at the end of his life. He made a league with an evil king. He made an alliance, and God reproved him for it. Well, then several, let's see, his son was, who was his son? Ahaziah. And then his son was Joash. And then Joash had, well, on down the line here, Joash's son was Uzziah, I believe. Joash's grandson was Uzziah. And then Jotham, and then Ahaz, and then Hezekiah. So on down the line, quite a few years, Hezekiah, 25 years old, he became king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He sought the Lord. He repaired the house of the Lord. He established the worship of the Lord. He established the priests and the Levites and people to do God's work. He cleaned the house of the Lord. He offered the sacrifices. He brought, I believe it said that there hadn't been such wonderful worship to the Lord in many years as there was in the days of Hezekiah. Then he had something come against him. He had a king to come against him. How many men did he come and fight against him with? The kind of battle that makes your heart faint. But here's what he said to them, to his people. He said in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles, verse 7, he said, Be strong and courageous, nor be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So that is the victory that he had in his heart. That's the blessing. That's the trust that he had in God. There's more with us than are with them. And what happened? God delivered him in such a great deliverance. He sent an angel, and he... trying to find the verse there. Yes. In verse 21, the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor. Does anybody know how many that was? Wasn't it 185,000? You can find it in the book of Isaiah. Let me see if I can get that right quick. Isaiah 37. The angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 in one night. They were all gone. God smote them. he delivered Hezekiah from these. And I didn't tell you how they had come against him. They came against him, not just against him, but they ridiculed the God of heaven. They said, your God isn't anything. He can't deliver you. They just ridiculed him. Well, God is not mocked. And he delivered Hezekiah. Well, here, back here in 2 Chronicles 32. In those days, verse 24, Hezekiah was sick unto death. So here's how God blessed him. He blessed him with this terrible army of soldiers. He delivered him. And then Hezekiah got deathly sick. The prophet said, set your house in order because you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he wept and he pleaded with God to remember his faith and his works that he had done for God. And before Isaiah the prophet had gotten out of the courtyard, he said, turn back around and go tell Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer and I'm going to add 15 years to your life. What is amazing to me is that that 15 years that he gave to Hezekiah was a very dangerous time in Hezekiah's life. In that 15 years, he had a son, Manasseh. In that 15 years, probably when Manasseh was at a very impressionable age, Hezekiah got lifted up because he was so wealthy that another men from another country came to visit him. And instead of instructing them about God and showing them about the worship of God, you know what he did? He took them into his treasure rooms and he showed them all of his wealth. What did that speak to God? What did that say to God? My heart has turned away from you somewhat. Maybe not all the way. Maybe he didn't realize, but he had entered into a very dangerous time in his life. God had blessed him, and now he was tested with this time of prosperity. So it told here how God came and visited him. God tested him. God talked to him. And he humbled his heart. He did. He humbled his heart. In verse 25, it says, Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was there wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And it told all of his riches and all of his works, and how that the people had visited him and he had showed them all of those things. It said God tried him in that time. He tried him to see what was in his heart. These things are a warning to us. These things show us the course of human nature if we really don't seek after God in all times of our life. In your easy times and your good times and in your bad times. Every one of those things, some people react more in hard times. And they think, God is doing something bad to me. God doesn't love me. And they get all discouraged in hard times. Other people seem like they thrive in hard times. It's like they just do better when things are against them. Each of us knows really where we are in those kind of things. But in all of the seasons that God's put in our life, one against the other, they're all to test us and to prove us, to humble us and to see what's in our heart. Do you really want God alone? Do you really want him? Will you really seek him no matter what happens? If you're blessed with riches or if you're just struggling, will we seek after God or will we get lifted up? Will we get bitter? Will we leave him? Will we think that he's not loving us? All of these things, God's put them side by side in our lives. So beware. Beware in the time of blessing. Beware whenever God has given you a victory. Be aware that when you've testified and when you are rejoicing, that you're going to have a test. You're going to have an adversary to come against you. Lord, help us this morning. I just feel a great sense of warning for myself I know it's happened before. It's happened several times. It's cycled many times in my life, where after we had been in such an intense battle, and then it was over, then I have a tendency to let up and to get lean. I'm always thankful then for the next battle, actually, because I think, well, I know I need this. I know this is what is good for me. Lord, help me in all of these things. And Lord, help us. I just want to close with this scripture from the last part of 2 Peter. Ye therefore, beloved, this is 2 Peter 3 and 17, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I desire this morning more than ever a steadfast spirit with the Lord. Steadfast in either of the extremes of life. Just steadfast with the Lord. Seeking Him little and often, maybe you might say, fills the cup. Not big extremes where I'm just all out and everything's good and then I relax and fall and I get lean. But steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, just more and more, just walking in His ways at all times. That's what I want in my life, and I ask you to pray for me.